Good evening, world. Merry Christmas, everybody, and welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this December 25th, Session 6. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Thank you for joining us for a Christmas episode of the show. Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff, with my partner in art, Seth Habhager here. Seth, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone out there.
And thank you for joining us not only for this Christmas episode, but really it's kind of a Director's Cut deleted scenes edition of the morning show, because we are bringing in really the class of our organization around here. Melissa Kay with us on the show today. Mel, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here, gentlemen.
Really appreciate the time, Melissa. Thank you so much. I know we take from your time. You got other things you could be doing. Thank you for hanging out with us here.
I don't know what else I'd be doing, guys. There's nothing I like more than hanging out with you two, even if I got to be on the phone.
Oh, she's good. She's good. She's good. I brought this up about a month ago, really. I wanted to do this on the show here. I thought it'd be fun. You know, it's a holiday season. We're wrapping up the year at the same time, and all these holidays kind of clumped in at the end of the year. Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, New Year's, all these things. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, got me thinking, what are our top five holidays? What are your favorite holidays? And since Melissa is our guest and a ladies first, Melissa, if you wouldn't mind kind of kicking this off, what are your top five holidays?
Okay, top five holidays in order. Now, I went with major ones because, well, you know, there's the major holidays.
Sure.
But so Thanksgiving, then Christmas, then New Year's. Yes, they go in calendar order.
Okay.
Deal with it.
Okay.
Then St. Patrick's Day and Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice. Nice. Is there, because it seems like a lot of those involve, you know, celebrating. Is that a big part of it for you?
Honestly, the biggest part of it is family.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's all usually have, for me, a lot of family involved. New Year's hits the top because it was my brother Andy's birthday.
Oh,
cool. And it has some nostalgia for me. We lost my brother in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And so while it's a sad day, it's also a day to remember him. And we always try to reach out to each other. The whole family does on that day just to, you know, give even if we're not together, digital hugs, as it were, or, you know, just a moment to connect and touch base.
Sure.
It sounded, and I appreciate so much you sharing that, Melissa. I think that the thing about holidays that brings us the most is nostalgia sometimes and memories. Even if they're not recent memories, it was 20 years ago, it can still hold so true to that day. I think there's a little bit of that in what you're saying. That's pretty cool to hear. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, also, and then St. Patrick's Day is you know, green, and I love the color green.
Okay, that was my next question. Why does St. Patrick's Day seem like the oddball in there? Yeah.
Okay, real quick, I had a question for both of you. Is St. Patrick's Day a major holiday?
Huh.
Because Mel said they were kind of major ones, but all the other four, she said, yeah, those are big. Everyone celebrates, but I don't know. I don't know if I consider that personally a big holiday. Well, apparently Melissa does, because
I would put it right there. Like, if it's not a major holiday, right at the cusp.
On the line. Okay.
Like right on the line. Okay. If it isn't, it should be, or it will be. If it is, or I would say it is in like especially certain areas.
Okay.
You know, where I'm from, like we're in Chicago, it's a huge holiday.
Oh yes,
like,
they turn the river green.
You might get in trouble with this podcast playing there in Chicago. Like even at the point, I don't know.
Oh, that Mayor Daley, I tell you.
It was really big in La Crosse, too, which is close to where I grew up. And and I don't know, we made a big deal out of it in school. Everybody wore green.
That's cool.
You know, the Kiss in the I'm Irish.
Yes,
the one day of the week, or the one day of the year.
I had no green growing up, and I bought a green shirt one year just so I wouldn't get pinched anymore.
That's a weird custom, by
it is
the way.
Weird,
that's very
it is
strange.
Weird.
I think so, anyway.
Those are great, Melissa. Thank you so much for those. Seth,
Then Halloween candy. I mean, need more. Oh. And dressing up. Actually, that's bigger for me. The dressing
costumes
up part
are always fun.
Than the candy. But,
yeah.
That's interesting. That was my question, was going to be what it was about Halloween. Was it the dressing up or the candy or the celebrating? That's a good answer.
Yeah, very nice. Hmm. I guess I'll accept those.
How does it look to your list, Seth?
Now I got to do it. You know, I had trouble with this. I honestly did because I'm like, I have so much baggage with so many, you know, holidays. Mm. I'm trying to find ones that don't have something that I can check. So, I mean, it's almost more than I list the ones I don't like.
Right.
But then the ones that aren't really big. At this point, I think Halloween is number one for me.
Okay.
Because, like Melissa, I love the dressing up and the candy, but more the decorating. I love putting up, you know, the spooky stuff. That's for whatever reason, I just get a thrill out of it. Plus, if I ever throw parties, my favorite parties to throw are Halloween.
Oh.
Because then you can do like fun games and stuff that you probably wouldn't do at normal parties.
Yes.
Those are things you can get away with other things kind of stuff. That's probably why I like Halloween so much. I think number two is Thanksgiving. Because it's simple.
Oh.
It's just a meal. You know, basically, you know, it's people getting together, having a meal, and that's it. And then you just chat or watch TV or whatever, something like that.
I love that.
There's not as much ritual as there is with Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Christmas is still on the list. It's going down, though.
Oh?
And I have to be very specific about why it's going down. I think it's number three on my list. But if you are married to a pastor, Christmas is very different.
Yeah. Yeah,
I suppose.
And because there's so much time that's spent doing other things than stuff for, you know, getting ready for your own family stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, forget Christmas Eve.
Oh,
we
can't
do anything on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I imagine.
Because I like, for instance, this year, two services, one at 4, one at 7. So our whole evening is at church, you know, so we're doing that the whole time. And then, you know, if we're trying to have a meal or anything, there's no time to do it. So, that's why I have a little different perspective on it because of what Beth does.
Understandable.
And so there's
that makes sense.
I get frustrated because, you know, I can't, you know, we can't do more things just the, you know, the family part of it together.
Yeah.
Because we live far away from the rest of our family, my parents, her dad,
that's right.
My sister is a little bit closer, but again, it's still not easy to, you know, get together all the time for stuff. So
for many of us, especially somebody like me that hasn't been around a lot of that, it's nice insight into that world and a little more empathy towards the people that do that for a living. I will say it also gives you a built-in excuse. Yeah. Oh, I can't come and see. Oh, I wanted to come and
that's
see
true.
The new baby.
Yeah.
I wanted to come and see. I can't, you know, my hands are tied. So sorry.
Very good point. Very good point. Moving on, the 4th of July is probably number four.
Nice.
And that's because it's one of those days where everyone seems to, if it's, you know, the weather's good, everyone spends the whole day outside.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. Plus, we do at the church, we have a thing that we do, you know, we have for the fireworks and everything, we sell bratwurst and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I love doing things like that. Where we get to, you know, have people come up and give, you know, and sell food and stuff. I love doing that. So that's part of the reason why I really like the 4th of July.
It's a good one.
Yeah, a summer celebration.
Summer ones are always better. And that's like the big summer one. There's really not a bunch of other ones in summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's unless you're just going to have like a summer party kind of thing. But the 4th seems to be the big day for in the summer for parties. New Year's long ago lost its charm for me. I used to work at a convention center, and a local hospital had their big fundraiser there every year, and they took over the entire thing. And when you're running the bar department on a night like that, it's insane. Mm-hmm. I'm there till like 4 in the morning kind of thing. That really took the fun out of New Year for me because I did it many years in a row. So it's like, I'll stay up and you know, all right, we'll do the countdown, and then I'll kiss Beth, and then, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I don't need any more of this.
12:01.
And I don't drink anything, so it's like, that's pointless, too. So. But I'll put it on the list just because there are certain things. If I can get together with friends and play games and stuff, then it's fun.
Yeah.
Then it's fun. I can handle that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I would say, similar to you, Seth, when I was in the band, New Year's Eve was not as fun of a holiday because it was mostly work and
a
lot of
day,
intoxicated people that didn't include me. But it's come back. I like it now because I get to spend time with friends.
Yeah, that's always the better. Just small gatherings,
Was that your five? Did you give us five?
Yep, that was my five. Yep.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. Those are both great lists. They're both wrong, but they're both great lists. No, I'm joking. Obviously, there's no wrong answers to this. You could have said Arbor Day number five, Arbor Day number
That's
four,
my number
Arbor
six,
Day
my,
number
as
three.
As a matter of fact, Arbor Day is, yeah.
Nice. Looking at my top five, I've got New Year's Eve at number five.
Okay.
In part, really, because of nostalgia. I would say once I turned 21, like all of you and everybody else listening, you know, you go to the bars or you do things like that. Drinking becomes a little more of play. I've had some good ones there. Mm-hmm. But when I first moved here and it became, you know, met my best friend, Chris, we were, you know, in junior high, or I mean, in grade school and then junior high. And those first like six, 7 New Year's we spent together were always the same. We just got together, watched movies, hung out, got to stay up later than we usually got to, you know, maybe watch the ball drop or something, watched movies that we were too young to watch, you know, and it was really where we built our friendship. Those early days.
Very nice.
And when I there's never going to be a New Year's, I don't think that I'm not going to immediately get brought back to those days. Mm-hmm. Modern day New Year's Eve, very late, low key for me. Still like seeing friends and doing everything. And I love the idea that we're all almost on the same page, reviewing the past year, looking towards the next year to make it better. There's something about that as a world, as a society, kind of like, not world, but as a country, kind of puts us all on the same page that I think is kind of cool. It reminds me almost like of the Olympics, sort of, in a way.
It's like a built-in fresh start for everybody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number four, 4th of July and Cinco de Mayo. That is a tie. I do love the 4th of July for all the things you guys were touching on. Mm-hmm. And certainly it being a summer holiday and that. I'm a big fan of our country, so really like that part of it. Cinco de Mayo has a little bit more of an interesting thing. One, I grew up around a lot of Mexicans growing up, and it's just the day was always a very special day to me and my family because the way we were incorporated into these other families. Mm-hmm. And what it means for Mexico, a sister country of ours.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you know the story of Cinco de Mayo, it is, you know, it's David and Goliath. It's everything that you could ask for as far as a war story goes, as far as a David and Goliath and everything. And I think there's something that everybody can pull from that. Mm-hmm. But really, all this is really, you know, means nothing because my oldest daughter was born on Cinco de Mayo.
Oh.
Bria was born on Cinco de Mayo.
Well, that makes it special.
And my little brother was born just a couple of days after Cinco de Mayo. Oh, so that's really where a lot of that stems from.
Very nice.
Number three on my list is Rosh Hashanah. And for my Gentile friends out there, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning, essentially the Jewish New Year.
Yes.
It's the beginning of the New Year. And again, very similar things to what I was saying before. Mm-hmm. What it means to my family and the nostalgia, a lot of that. And just liking the starting over kind of thing. I love the idea of, you know, not trying to skate past the past year, but just saying, okay, it had its place. Now I'm moving on, for better or for worse, the good stuff, the bad stuff. Today is a new day.
Yep.
Number two on my list, Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
Come on. How can I not, right? I mean, Hanukkah's such a fun holiday. It's one where it's one of the few Jewish holidays that everybody knows about. So
true.
That means something, but it's... I was just lighting the candles yesterday with my mom and hit over the head with nostalgia again.
Wow.
About with my brother, my sister, and all of us doing this as kids. Mm. But it's always been like, I don't have a lot of things to bring out the faith in me, the spiritual in me. And I have all the respect in the world for people that do have those things. I don't know what's wrong with my brain and my heart. I just am too scientific. I've never really been able to match faith, like the faith in my family, to that kind of thing. But I do love what it can do for others and what it brings out in others and what it tends to bring out in me. Mm-hmm. And Hanukkah is one of those ones where, just similar to Cinco de Mayo, I think everybody can pull from that story and take something to, you know, to take to the bank with.
You know, I think I think Hanukkah might be moving up in my holiday thing because there's no attachment. I don't have to worry about the church stuff. I could just have fun with Hanukkah.
You say a little prayer, light some candles, boom. You know, you're done.
Have some latkes.
You hug your mother, and then you're done. And number one on my list, Arbor Day. No, it is Halloween, of course.
Halloween.
Of course, Halloween. If you've listened to me 5 seconds, you know how much I love Halloween. For all the reasons you guys said, if I could just throw in there as well, I love holidays that everybody's involved. Kids, parents, single people, married people, like everybody can have a piece in Halloween and enjoy a part of it. There's a little part of me that cringes a little the more and more we go along. It seems like adults are stealing it from kids. But I do think that at this point, it's still kind of 50-50, really, okay. And really a holiday for everybody.
Right.
Well, and I don't think we can completely steal it from kids because they pull off the costumes so much better than the adults do,
they
hands
do.
Down.
So they true. Look so much cuter, too.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
I'm telling
right.
the kids,
very.
They got it.
Very.
I find there's a couple of observations that I just had here. One, three of us, Halloween, pretty high on the list.
Yep.
Theater people, not a surprise
no,
at all.
No.
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 Theater people like to dress up. That's one of the reasons why we do it, right?
Yes.
So getting a chance to put on costumes,
we
will always do it. And the other thing is here, no one mentioned Valentine's Day. And again, that does not surprise me.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think of that. Oh.
Because, again, I think about, you know, the history, you know, like you and Melissa have had with relationships and everything.
Yeah.
Thankfully, you're both in very good ones now, which is very cool, and I celebrate that with both of you. But, I mean, I was there, too, at one point. The single guy, you know, it's Valentine's Day seems to be mocking single people, you know?
It really does.
And I don't think...
Have you ever met anybody who likes Valentine's Day, though? Really?
Maybe you're right.
I really haven't. Yeah, that's such a good point. I hadn't even thought about that.
I mean, maybe little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because they get candy randomly.
Well, they do. They do get some more candy. True. Anytime candy is good, right? But man, you're so right. I've never heard anyone say, Valentine's Day is my favorite holiday.
Yeah, that's a really strong point.
The only good thing about it is chocolate.
True. Truth.
The darker, the better.
I do immediately, I cringe, though, with you when you guys were talking about kids may enjoy it. Because I remember everybody, you know, making cards. And my mailbox, my Valentine's box being very dead. Very dead. Because usually I was a new kid in school. I was a new kid in class.
And no one knew
you. Yeah, nobody knew me. So they didn't even know to make cards for me or anything like that. That's a good one. The fact that I think all three of us had Halloween as our number one.
Yeah.
Melissa, did you have Halloween at number one?
No, I had it at 5. Because
oh, you did
I
have 5.
Yeah,
she did.
Order five, you guys right. did. But... that's okay. It was still in my top 5.
Exactly.
Halloween, and that kind of leads me segue into a strange holiday movies.
Okay.
And my favorite holiday movie, period, has always been A Nightmare Before Christmas. Tends to be a little bit of a more oddball choice. Not your traditional Christmas movie or anything like that. There's some people that would push back on it even being a Christmas movie. So we'll use that as a segue into our next segment. We'll take a break right here, and we'll get into, when we come back, strange, weird, fun holiday movies.
Right here on Director's Cut.
Welcome back to Director's Cut, Christmas edition, Xmas edition, if you will.
Sure.
We've got Melissa, Seth, all here with us on the show. It's a fun one, and we're going to get into now stranger, different, more, you know, on the off-beaten path of Christmas movies, if you will. Mm. There's some big ones out there. I mentioned before the break, Nightmare Before Christmas. I think Scrooged is a good kind of one of those movies, but not maybe as different or weird as we're talking about. I want to kind of go around the room here and go through some of these. I know, Melissa, you had a couple you were going to share, including one that you just recently did some very good journalistic work on.
Well, in you know, efforts to be a contributing member of this episode of Director's Cut, I did some research, and I was trying to find a recent holiday movie that we could make fun of. So, you know, Die Hard gets so much controversy this time of year. As I was looking through movies this year, I found one called Love Hard. And, you know, I immediately thought, okay, this is going to be somehow connected to Die Hard. Well, it's actually not. And after watching the trailer, I totally want to watch this movie.
I'm just looking it up right now. It actually doesn't have a horrible cast.
Well, and it's okay. So some of us may be able to relate to this better than others. But it's actually about a dating app relationship where a girl flies across the country to meet a guy that she's been talking to online, and it turns out she's been catfished.
Oh.
He's not the guy that he was in the pictures. You know, it's a different picture.
Right. Mm.
She meets the guy. He's totally not that guy, but he knows the guy, and he is going to help the girl fall, or help the guy fall in love with her.
Oh my gosh.
In a week.
Weird. Okay.
That's a take
it's
on
weird.
Cyrano de Bergerac.
Also,
yeah.
It's a take on that. Yeah.
The trailer was awesome. Huh. And this might be the movie that I tell my boyfriend we're watching. Neither one of us are rom-com people,
mm-hmm.
but we found each other online. So, you know, that's kind of funny.
Nice. Yep. Nice. Yep.
And I think it's going to showcase in some ways the difficulties that guys have on dating apps, which is very true. And you don't realize it really until you get into this world of online dating, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Mm. Especially during the holidays.
Oh, gosh, yes, I'm sure. That's got to make it worse.
Yeah.
But I actually want to watch this movie, Love Hard. It was made in 2021.
Oh, so it is really recent. Wow.
It is recent. And it looks really cute. It's on Netflix. And, you know, I think I might have to check it out. I was expecting to be able to just totally bomb on this movie, and I can't.
Right? It's funny when that happens.
Gotcha. That's great.
It's got, yeah. As far as like some of the other movies I've looked at, 57% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 6 out of 10 on IMDb, which is actually pretty good compared to a lot of the other movies I'm looking at. Jimmy O. Yang is in it, and I'm a big fan of his. He's a great young actor. He's a very fun actor. He chooses good movies too, usually.
Oh, good.
So those are some good signs. That's a nice choice, Melissa. I know you had another one we had to reference to.
So my longtime listeners of WFH Star will have heard me expostulate multiple times last year on the wonderfulness that is Santa Jaws. So no, this is my ultimate favorite Christmas movie. It's so ridiculous because I'm not a horror person, which this is borderline horror.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like gory, but it was made in 2018. I thought the director was Howie Duin, who directed Lonageddon.
Right.
Turns out it's not.
Aww.
It's directed by Misty Talley, who, I'm sorry, Howie Duin, but she's actually a better director.
Yeah, I
But this movie is about a young boy who draws comics, and he draws this character, Santa Jaws, which is a shark with a Christmas hat, and wishes that the shark would kill his family. Well, that's what happens in the movie.
That's dark.
And they have to stop it from happening. And, you know, they have to use, like, Christmas-related things to make it stop. So they're throwing, you know, Christmas ornament bombs at the shark, and it's hilarious. It's actually really well cast.
Okay.
And the director did a great job. I highly recommend it as a solid B Christmas movie.
Nice. Nice.
Many people are looking for newer traditions. Maybe this could be a new tradition for you and your family.
I mean,
there.
It did get 4 out of 10 on IMDb.
It did. Almost a 50% watch rating. I watched a trailer for it, and because you've talked about it so much, Melissa, and everything, I actually want to see this movie.
Okay,
but I do have one problem with the movie. There is one overwhelmingly unrealistic part of the movie of this kid creating a character, drawing it, and it comes to life, and the family having to kill this shark. My issue with this whole story is how the Santa hat stays on its fin no matter what this shark does. Like, that's no way. No way does that stay right perfectly on the fin. That,
can't suspend your disbelief
that
anymore.
That part blew me.
Can't do
throw
it.
Me. Throw me. Throw me.
Oh, that's the kicker. Okay.
No, I actually
not
can't
wait.
Not
the magic pen that he draws it with.
Yes. That wasn't unrealistic to me. No,
yeah.
It's the Santa hat not staying on the whole time. Like, how did that? That can't happen. It does look fun. I can't wait to try to watch this. It'll be good. Those are really great ones, Melissa. Those are really good.
Excellent.
Seth, did you have any that you can think of?
I do. Actually, one of them is not technically a movie.
Mm.
I would say if... Okay, so Santa Shark, you know, borderline horror. You know, we've seen Christmas horror movies, Silent Night, Deadly Night, Black Christmas, all these things, right? If you want to see some horror, go back and watch Christmas cartoons from the 1930s.
Oh, yeah.
Waking Nightmare.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. If you have seen any of these things, man, it is, you will not sleep after watching the nightmare fuel that this is, man.
Oh, no.
No.
It's horrifying.
I will watch The Shining before I'll watch any of those like classic, like old 60s, 70s like specials. So it was something about the animation and the storyline. There was one about a guy who ate children, basically. Like he was stealing kids to eat them. It was like, I can remember like being 8 or 9, like, I don't think my sister should be watching this. I don't know. Like, we put on the Dark Crystal to lighten the mood.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It was like... No, it's just, it's awful. And I mean, it's the strangeness. And to be fair, it's, you know, of some of the cultural things that have not aged well. Yeah. Let's put it that way, right? Mm-hmm. That are in some of these. But man, if you want a scary Christmas, man, watch some of those. Those are just terrifying. I know I've really sold it really well.
For every Charlie Brown Christmas and How the Grinch Stole Christmas, there are those.
There's something out there just like that. So there's a couple of campy ones that are out there that I like, and I owe this completely to Mystery Science Theater 3000, because they have done a couple of Christmas movies over the years, which I'm eternally grateful for. Actually, for those of you out there who watched the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, spoiler alert, Kevin Bacon's in it.
Yeah.
And at one point, Kevin Bacon is sitting in his house, you know, waiting for his family to come home, and he's watching something on TV. They cut to it. It's Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Mm. And for those of you who know MST3K, it was the first Christmas show they did back, I think, in 1991. It is, again, horrifying. Santa Claus, it's terribly acted. The only interesting thing about it in terms of the production itself is that a child, Pia Zadora, is in it.
Yeah.
As she was a little girl, and she was, as a child actor, she was in it as one of the Martian kids. The costumes are terrible. The acting is worse. And it was like, I'm guessing it was a TV thing back in the 60s.
I had this as one of my choices. Okay. The quick synopsis: the Martians don't have a Santa Claus, so they decide to steal the one from Earth so that the kids on their planet could have gifts too. However, two children from Earth put an end to the sharing Santa very quickly and bring him back to Earth. Santa is free, but the Martians get no gifts. And all is well in Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
And it's terrible.
It's like a fever dream of a film.
It really is. It really is. I would recommend watching the MST3K version of it because it's really funny. Also, it has the immortal Christmas classic, A Patrick Swayze Christmas, in it, which should become a standard because it's very classic. And because you can put that in your new, when you go caroling,
yes,
you can do Patrick Swayze Christmas because it's so true. We all need a little more Patrick Swayze
absolutely
in our hearts right now.
Absolutely.
At this time of year.
Don't we, though?
Don't we, though? So that's one of my big ones. They did another episode in the initial run of the show, which is called Santa Claus, that was made in Mexico, badly dubbed, and kind of equates Santa with Jesus, which is very weird.
Ooh.
And Satan is in it as well.
Oh, of
Satan
course.
Satan plays a very big role in the Santa Claus
interesting
movie.
Interesting.
So, again, I would, again, watch the MST3K version because at least you'll have some comic relief in there. You don't have to watch it straight through. So I would recommend
those.
And
you don't have to provide the commentary yourself?
No, you don't. Yeah. Unless you want to. I mean, watch it straight up, but I would get your insults ready, get your jokes ready, because you'll be doing that through the whole thing. I'll tell you right now.
So that was definitely one of mine, the Santa Conquers the Martians. Yeah. Great choice. Great one right there. I counter that with Santa with Muscles.
Ooh.
You might be wondering, if Santa has all those muscles, what's he doing with all those cookies he collected at 100 million houses in one night? Santa with Muscles, Blake Thorne, Hulk Hogan, is a pompous millionaire who made his fortune selling bodybuilding supplements until he hits his head while evading the police in a Santa disguise. When he comes to, he really thinks he is Santa, but with muscles. If you thought Jingle All the Way was a little bit too far-fetched, this movie may be for you.
just might be one you want to think about. That's a classic, I think.
Can we just put out there, Hulk Hogan tried so hard.
He really did.
To be an actor. He tried. He was in multiple movies. He tried so hard. I got to give him credit for trying.
Really
well,
did.
And he
did.
I looked that movie up, and it did get 5 stars from this person who said, this is the greatest movie I've ever watched. Its wow. writing was brilliant. The stellar acting and effects could go down as the best ever recorded.
Are they being facetious?
Yeah, was that Terry Hogan that
Please
wrote that?
Santa with Muscles is an instant classic.
It was his kids.
It was definitely one of his kids. Definitely. I have no doubt in my mind it was one of his
that's
kids.
That's funny.
I throw in there Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. I think that's more of a Christmas special, but
yeah,
that's
works.
A, it works. More of an eclectic one. A little maybe more popular one, too. How about Santa Claus, a.k.a. Santa Claus versus the Devil?
Oh, see, maybe that's the one I was just talking about.
I think was
it's
wondering.
The same one. Yeah. I bet you it is.
Low-budget 1959 Mexican fantasy film. Yep. Santa and Satan battle out for Christmas. Santa wants to make it all cheery and happy. Satan, not so much. Horrible costumes.
Oh,
some
man.
Of the worst costumes in film history yes. are in that movie. I think that can be said for a lot of Christmas movies, mm-hmm. even the good ones sometimes.
Yep.
Really bad costumes.
Okay, so one of the things that's really weird about that movie, Santa, first of all, not on the North Pole. Yeah. He lives in a cloud. That floats above the earth in a giant castle.
Of course he does.
Which he's got all these interesting technological devices, including he can look through a telescope, except the telescope is a giant eye.
Oh, wow. Oh, weird.
Terrifying eye.
Yeah.
And there's like a translator of big red lips that move. Oh, no, it's so wrong.
No.
And the reindeer are all mechanical and it's weird.
What were they
wow. Oh,
you know, I was just about to ask a question that I could have answered very easily. What were they thinking in the 70s? You know what? Never mind. No. I feel pretty confident we all know what
we
they
all
were
know
of,
what yeah. was going on in the 70s. Yes.
My honorable mention is actually a movie on the outside looking in a little bit, The Hebrew Hammer. Yes,
first
I know.
Of all, awesome title.
It's such a great title.
Great title.
It is not a Christmas movie, obviously, but it does actually involve Christmas quite a bit. It stars Adam Goldberg as the Hebrew Hammer. The great Judy Greer is in it. Andy Dick plays a crazy Santa, or Santa's kid, I think. You got Mario Van Peebles in it.
Oh, my gosh.
Rachel Dratch. Just an incredible cast.
That's amazing.
And actually a really, like, I think a stand-up movie. Like, I actually love the movie. Now, obviously, I am biased as all get out. I've waited my whole life to see a Jewish action star, and Adam Goldberg actually does a pretty decent job in a comedic way. Mm-hmm. It's got some really funny stuff in it, but one of the things that I found so cool about the movie, when it first came out on Comedy Central back in like 02, 03 or something, I had people that would reach out to me and say, oh, I didn't know that you guys did this on Hanukkah. Or this was a part of your religion or mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And I was like, that little movie got that question to happen.
Awesome.
It was kind of cool. And again, if you're looking for like this time of year, a fun movie to watch that maybe, you know, isn't one that you've seen a million times, that's kind of what we're looking at here.
Yeah.
That is one of the first ones I would suggest. It's on Redbox. You can find it on Amazon Prime. If you have not seen it, Hebrew Hammer, do yourself a favor, watch it, then call your mother.
I'm going to call
it.
It
really doesn't look half bad.
No, well, that sounds pretty good. I like that
it's
one.
It is pretty good.
I'm going to just shift gears real quick here to finish out this segment. And it's just something I thought of just now. I'm just now kind of curious about what your guys' favorite holiday special is. Not movie,
Ooh.
But holiday special.
Ooh.
TV special that you remember from growing up. What do you got, Melissa?
We didn't watch them growing up.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No, because Christmas was strictly a Christian holiday.
It was all religious. Okay.
I mean, we did get to watch, like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, exactly.
Only because my mom liked it when she was a kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see how it is. Have you been able to see any of those since then, since you've been an adult?
I don't really watch them. The one go-to is probably Rudolph,
which is a classic, by the way, and it's one of my favorites too, so I can throw that out there. But that's really interesting. How about you, James? Did you have anything really or not really?
You know, I was just kind of real quickly trying to run through my head because I feel like the answer is kind of easy, but you know, the Charlie Brown any of the Charlie Brown specials, especially the Christmas one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have hardly anything growing up, mm-hmm. and we certainly didn't have a TV to play, you know, local
right,
TVs.
Watching TV, yeah.
But one of the people in our high-rise on our floor did, and we got to go in there and watch, you know, TV. Oh. And it's how we saw a lot of games, and it's like how we saw a lot of the big moments that happened mm-hmm. in the 80s, Hands Across America, that kind of stuff. And one time we got invited over, and Charlie Brown Christmas was on, and I had never seen it. And there was something about the kids, like, trying to pull off their own Christmas and just a bunch of kids getting together with other friends. It wasn't a family thing. It was just friends. And that, you know, they grab a little of this and a little of that. And Charlie Brown's Christmas tree, of course. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a poor person's Christmas, man. That's the Christmas. That's the only Christmas I knew growing up.
Right.
And there was not a lot of like relatability for people like me growing up. Like what we see on TV. Oh, that's relatable. Mm-hmm. I can relate to that. Usually it was Different Strokes. It was Family Ties. It was like a lot of that stuff. That special was actually, in a weird way, one of the most relatable things to a lot of us project kids. And it was such a good special.
Well, that really makes sense. And I had never thought of it that way.
Weird to kind of go all the way to make it serious, of course, like I always do. That's my game.
You know, there's some serious parts in it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, you're right. It had a message to
never
tell.
Never thought it was such a bad little tree.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
No, I liked it, too.
Yes, that's a classic. I was one of those kids that watched every one I could when I was growing up. So all of them I have a special place in mm-hmm. my heart for. Rudolph was always a big treat. Of course, Charlie Brown was a big one. Frosty by Jimmy Durante, with Jimmy Durante narrating that one.
My dad's
classic,
favorite.
Because I love Jimmy Durante. And then some of the, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones, but I'm also a big fan of like sitcom Christmas and Halloween specials. Yes. Any kind of a holiday special on those. I always love those. Those are some of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. If you're gonna,
do you love them all year round or just at Christmas?
Oh, you mean the Christmas specials themselves, those episodes?
Right.
Oh yeah, I watch them anytime. Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Yes.
This time of year, I tend to watch, Nightmare Before Christmas, mm-hmm. if Scrooge is on, if Elf is on. But every Christmas since it came out, I watched The Simpsons roasting on an open fire. It was the first episode of The Simpsons.
That's right.
It's a Christmas episode.
It is.
It's and it's where the Simpsons get Santa's little helper, their mm-hmm. dog. It is such a good episode. It always brings me back. The animation doesn't hold up, maybe, but there's something about it that just makes me warm inside, and I love it.
It's an interesting piece of history
because
if you look at where the show started and where it ended up. It's really, the evolution is really remarkable. But you're right.
Yeah.
That was a great episode to start on because
it's a very family episode.
It is a very family episode. Yep.
Community, the great TV show Community, has Abed's Uncontrollable Christmas, which was a classic episode. It was all animation.
Wow. Ooh, I'm looking forward to that. I haven't gotten that far in the seasons yet.
Oh, it's so good. One of my favorite shows, top 10 favorite shows of all time, Community.
Nice.
It was such a good
nice.
One. And on the other end of things, South Park has a couple of really good Christmas episodes that I probably can't even talk about even on this show.
I know their first one, which was one of their biggest ones that they ever did. I think that might have been, they didn't premiere on that episode, did they?
No,
but it was
early
in there.
Yeah, it was early. Oh, no, you're right, though. The very first, like, before it even got to Comedy Central, the first thing Matt and Trey did was do a Christmas thing, but it was all Oklahoma Christmas. It was Santa versus Satan, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, right.
And it was all done really like, and they just did this as a holiday card.
Yeah.
And some producers saw it and said, hey, that's really good. You guys should do something with it. And they turned it eventually into South Park.
Yeah. Of all things. That's crazy.
Honorable mention, Golden Girls holiday episode, 'Twas the Nightmare Before Christmas. Honorable mention.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah. I have another honorable mention because it was my mother's favorite Christmas special, and it was the Cinderella that they would play every year on TV.
Oh yes. Mm. Yes, I know exactly. I think I know which one you're talking about. Yes, because I think we watched the same one.
That's a good one.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a deep dive here.
Mm.
For those, and this is not something I've mentioned a lot, not because I'm ashamed of it or anything. Yeah, it's just it doesn't come up very much. So most people know that listen, Mystery Science Theater 3000, favorite television show of all time. That's for me it is. Number two, Sabrina the Teenage Witch is number two.
Whoa.
Really?
Yes, it is. Part of that is there's an MST connection there. After he left the show, Frank Conniff, who played TV's Frank, became a writer on Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Right.
And I can pinpoint Frank jokes. I know exactly which ones are his.
Right on.
I can tell you, yep, that's a Frank joke. Because he kind of carried it over.
Yeah.
It was a very, at least in the first few seasons, it was a very offbeat show. It was not something that you saw a lot on television, especially around a teenage girl.
Yeah.
And to this day, of course, I'm a big fan of Melissa Joan Hart because she did a great job with that. I've always been admired her work.
She's great.
She is awesome. But they had a couple of really fun Christmas episodes. And, of course, they're witches, so Halloween was, you know, bigger. But,
sure.
But they had some fun Christmas ones that I still like, including the first one they did because they had some great guest stars. Dana Gould.
Oh, wow.
The comedian. I don't know if you know who Dana Gould is, but he's a great stand-up comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Done some cartoon voices and stuff like that. He was on the show and did a fun little part. And they had a couple of other crazy guest stars and everything. Again, it's a strange one. I know people are like, huh?
That's what Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
So yes, that's not only one of my favorite shows, one of my couple of my favorite Christmas shows as well.
Good stuff.
Nice.
Good stuff.
They actually had a show where who was it? Another famous person played Santa, like a really nasty, not a nasty Santa, but like a lazy Santa. Mm. But I can't remember who it was. It was a very good actor too, and I can't remember. Mm. But I'd have to look it up.
Yeah.
So, I think we've exhausted those topics,
yes,
everybody.
Yes.
I think we're going to move on here, take another quick break. And when we come back to Director's Cut, it's going to be some celebrity Christmas albums that time has forgot. But we haven't. We are going to dig them up and dust them off right here on Director's Cut.
And welcome back, everybody, to Director's Cut, Xmas Eve edition, or Xmas Day edition, really, of the show, which is really just a bunch of deleted scenes from the morning show.
Yeah, basically.
Because we've got Melissa hanging out with Seth and I today, and we do appreciate the time. Mel, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Oh, absolutely. This has been so much fun, you guys.
Wanted to wrap up on celebrity Christmas albums might have forgotten about. Got some interesting ones here. Now, this is a big list, and we're just going to kind of gut through some of these. Now, some, maybe not so much we may have forgotten about, but nothing too crazy. Wrapped in Red from Kelly Clarkson from 2013. Taylor Swift back in 2007 had the Taylor Swift Holiday Collection. Very creative name. That was a Target exclusive kind of thing.
Okay.
Ooh,
so there's
Target.
There's that kind of stuff in here. And then there is, from 1997, RuPaul's Ho Ho Ho.
She didn't.
It would keep going with Slay Bellas in 2015. And then Christmas Party in 2018. RuPaul, I don't know if they're all albums or not, but three songs at least.
Christmas stuff. Oh, my God.
That's something.
That's awesome.
Hanson had two Christmas albums.
Two? I could see one?
Yeah.
Two, really?
The band that only had one hit had two Christmas albums. Snowed In 1997, and finally It's Christmas from 2017.
Wow.
I think I heard some songs from that album.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm going to have to look it up now.
Yeah.
I was curious.
Yeah.
Super curious.
Interesting. Santa Claus Lane from Hilary Duff in 2002.
Okay. All right.
I don't know anything about that one.
She was a Disney star.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but she, I guess she was a pretty good singer, too. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think her character on her show was a singer.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay. This one, I'm not sure how I feel about this one. Destiny's Child in 2001 came out with 8 Days of Christmas. And I feel a little like the 8 Days thing is kind of like copywritten. I feel a little bit like, I mean, come on. There's all this talk about people trying to steal Christmas or something like that. Here you are stealing from my one holiday here. 8 Days, Hanukkah, they're kind of attached. You got 12 days of Christmas,
you got 12,
sure.
Yeah.
It's just 8 Days, Destiny's Child.
That's
come
weird.
On, Beyonce.
Very confusing.
I'm sure it has a point, actually.
Yeah,
I have no
probably
idea.
Does.
I have no idea.
Oh, man.
Number six on this list, in 2011, Justin Bieber came out with Under the Mistletoe.
Justin Bieber.
Mm. Yeah.
That's all we can say.
It's pretty bad when the punchline is your name. Like, I feel
yeah,
bad.
Exactly.
I feel a little bad for that. But at the same time, I mean, it's going to get worse going on here. So. Number five, a Christmas album from the great Barbra Streisand from 1967.
Now, that makes all the sense in the world.
Sure.
It does. That one, absolutely.
Iconic voice, iconic singer, one of the most recognizable voices and singers of all time. Also a Jew.
I was going to say, which is pretty good, you know.
So her coming out with a Christmas album was kind of seen like, they were, especially in 67, a lot of people like weren't too really sure about this.
Yep.
It turns out this would be the start of a lot of people like that, like Neil Diamond and other Jewish popular artists coming out with Christmas albums.
Yeah, and I think I know a pretty good reason for that. How many Jews live in the United States that celebrate Hanukkah?
Yeah,
and then everyone else like celebrates Christmas, including lots of Jews.
Right.
I think it's math.
Yeah.
Simple math.
Yeah.
The answers to all your questions, money.
Money.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. I don't begrudge anybody that either, by the way. No. Now, this is an interesting one, only because I just started to hear some music from it because of Seth. A Holiday for Swing from Seth MacFarlane from 2014. I know Seth put a little bit of Seth MacFarlane in our bumper music for our Christmas songs. I've heard a little bit of Seth sing over the years. Great crooner.
Oh, yeah, he is he is excellent. I actually got his first album when it came out just as a curiosity. I was like, wow, this is interesting. But, you know, this is him at, like as serious as Seth MacFarlane gets.
Okay.
Because he takes it very, I mean, they put that first album together, and I'm sure he's done it since, he made sure it was a live group. He said he wanted it to be as authentic as possible to that sound. Mm. And I got to tell you, his records sound great because of all the care that he puts into them. So, and he is a very good singer. So it's some interesting stuff.
He grew up idolizing all the crooners.
Yes.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
The rest of this list gets a little muddy.
Okay.
Like number three, Merry Christmas, Little Mama. The mixtape from Chance the Rapper and Jeremiah from 2016.
Ooh.
I will admit, journalistically, big fan of Chance the Rapper.
Okay.
Big fan. Now, Chance in his kind of went got to a point in his career because he's done something that nobody else had done. He's never had a studio deal. He's never been on a major label.
Really?
And he's still one of the more recognizable names in the game. He did all that from the ground up, doing it all himself with friends and mixtapes and everything.
Wow.
So for him to come out with a Christmas mixtape is kind of a little full circle sort of thing.
Makes sense. Wow, that's great.
Not your mom and dad's Christmas album. I'll tell you that right out the gate.
Put it out there.
You definitely want to listen to that before playing it for friends and relatives, especially the older friends and relatives.
Okay, makes sense.
Might need some censoring.
Yeah.
This next one, incredible singer, rapper, great musician, but boy, it has not aged well. CeeLo's Magic Moment, CeeLo Green Christmas from 2012.
Oh, and I love CeeLo Green.
I used to love him too. Yeah, he was great, but some bad things that CeeLo did, and that album has not aged well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I did want to rap on, I would say, I don't think it's too far fetched to say the William Shatner of our generation, guys. And that is David Hasselhoff.
Oh, The Night Before Christmas?
Yep, The Night Before Christmas. Oh, the David Hasselhoff album from 2004 comes at number one on this BuzzFeed list.
Okay.
Wow.
Are you familiar with this one, Melissa?
Oh, well, it popped up on the list that I found and was looking at, so that's good.
So looking at the list of the tracks on this album, and there's about 14 on here, it's all the classics. You know, he's doing everyone, Silent Night, Deck the Halls, Joy to the World, which I'm having a hard time even just saying these words outside. But then he does Feliz Navidad. and I have never listened to anything off of this. I don't know. I've never heard any of these songs or anything like that. There is a part of me, curiosity-wise, that does want to listen to like snippets of these just to hear what it's like. Because I
can't imagine him singing.
It is weird. It's very weird. It feels like very like forced in an uncomfortable way.
Yeah.
But especially David Hasselhoff trying to do Spanish singing. That has got to be legend. I refuse to listen to that because what I have in my head is so much funnier. It's like there's no way the real product could actually live up to it. It's too darn funny in my head.
Not to disillusion anyone, David Hasselhoff has recorded many albums, and he is a musical superstar in Germany.
In Germany, he's huge. Yeah.
Really?
He is huge in Germany.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they love him over there.
To this day.
The last on that album is Steel Nacht, which Stevie I believe Nacht, is German.
Yep. It is. That's the Silent Night was originally in German. That's actually was written in German. So yeah.
And I that is not a coincidence that the last song on the album is a German. No.
That's for his German fans right there. Yep. All of Deutschland will be celebrating, yes.
Just an interesting list. There's
Can I make one honorable mention?
Oh, please, sure. Please.
The Three Stooges. Christmas Time with the Three Stooges on vinyl.
No.
Oh,
there's
I got it.
Six songs.
Oh, no.
That includes I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. But then they also have Wreck the Halls with Balls of Holly.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I Got a Cold for Christmas. And Down Through the Housetop.
I'm leaving right now. I'm going to go find that because that is right up my alley.
There's one more I got to mention. Jingle Bells Drag.
Again, three Jewish performers.
Yep.
Doing Christmas
Released
songs.
Released in 1983.
Oh, that's so good.
That is so, so good.
There is some music in the Star Wars Holiday Special. I was trying to, where R2-D2, I think, is doing some, stuff and everything that's so weird and so, cringy.
Yeah.
That's a good one, too.
The Star Wars Christmas album. That's what I want next. I want them to do that.
Can you think of an artist who hasn't done a Christmas album that you would like to see do a Christmas album?
I can't think of any because just about all it's like you're supposed to do one. Mm-hmm. Like you have three albums and it's like, what's next? Oh, Christmas album. Got to do that next.
Right.
You know,
I mean, everybody's done it. Shatner, Snoop Dogg, Ally McBeal.
I mean, I remember that one.
Has Alice Cooper done a Christmas album?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I would like to see. Oh,
he's done
I thought
a Christmas
he had
this song.
Oh, I thought so. I couldn't pull
because
it out of my memory.
I had to Google heavy metal Christmas because I actually like that kind of music, so I wanted to see what was out there, and there's quite a bit.
Again, money,
you're going to sell some records at Christmas, that's for sure.
Any day now, Metallica is going to come out with a Christmas album. Pantera, I would have loved to heard done Jingle Bells. Or I would have heard Dimebag Darrell doing Jingle Bells on the guitar, that kind of thing. That'd have been fun.
Oh man,
there's some artists out there that are. I think that the next year we do this,
we're going to add to this. I think so. Anybody. So that is actually going to wrap it up for us today, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to these first few episodes of Director's Cut. Quick reminder, I just want to let everyone know we finally got the podcast up on the website. So you can start listening on civicmedia.us. Go to their shows. Check out Director's Cut, and we've got several shows up there.
And I just wanted to...
I can't wait.
Yes.
Oh, it's so cool. We were so thankful to the Civic Media, to all the people like Seth and Chuck working so hard to get these podcasts on there for us. I have to say, this is a new favorite memory for me on Christmas. The three of us getting to spend Christmas together a little bit. This was fun. Melissa, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Oh, thank you guys for asking me. It was great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Merry Christmas to everybody. Have a happy new year. The next time you'll hear us, it will be a new year. Yeah. So from all of us here at WFHR and at Director's Cup, have a great Christmas. We'll be seeing you soon. Bye.